Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. Exposing the Warmongers.
Hello. Every evening, when I have turned on the television news during the past few weeks, the message has had the same theme. Saddam Hussein must be stopped. Saddam Hussein is a danger to America. We must destroy Saddam Hussein. About the only difference I've noticed in these daily news messages is that they are steadily becoming more strident, more demanding, more imperative. We must destroy Saddam Hussein. And in support of this message, the television people are using all of their tricks to stir up public opinion in favor of another war against Iraq. Day after day, we hear things like, Saddam continues to defy the United Nations. Saddam thumbs his nose at America. Saddam challenges us to do something about his illegal actions, etc. And these inflammatory comments are made against a background of old film footage of Saddam in his military uniform grinning at us. NBC's news anchor Tom Brokaw seems really impatient. Why don't we take out Saddam now, he asks. Why don't we just go in there and kill him? What are we waiting for? That's pretty much the refrain heard from all of the news commentators. Now, exactly how is Saddam Hussein defying us? Well, I'll tell you how. Saddam is saying, Iraq is our country. It's a sovereign country. It doesn't belong to the United Nations or to the United States. We're tired of you people sticking your noses into our business and telling us how to run our country. Get out. Leave us alone. Go away. And of course, he's threatened to shoot down our spy planes if we continue to fly over Iraq without Iraq's permission. Pretty intolerable behavior, right? A pretty good reason for us to start another war and bomb Iraq back into the Stone Age, right? Complete justification for slaughtering a few hundred thousand more Iraqis, right? I mean, what does this guy Saddam think in demanding that we respect the sovereignty of his country? I mean, we're bigger than he is, and so we don't have to respect him, right? You know, if these television people who are so hot for a new war against Iraq would just come right out and say that, I would find their warmongering a little easier to take. If they would just say, hey, we're bigger and stronger than Iraq, and so we can make the Iraqis do whatever we tell them. We don't have to respect them or treat them the way we expect to be treated. We can push them around as much as we want, and if they don't like it, we'll just kill them. But of course, the last thing we expect from our controlled news media is honesty. They want their war, and they also want to make us believe that the war is Saddam's fault, not ours. And so, day after day, the television news people tell us about how Saddam is threatening the security of the world and defying America and just begging for us to go in there and take him out, to use Tom Brokaw's euphemism for political assassination. If we want to begin justifying high-level political assassination, I can think of a head of state much closer to home than Saddam who ought to be taken out. Someone whose elimination would really do America a lot of good. You know, it was just 11 months ago, on December 21st, 1996, when I predicted on this program that the Jewish media bosses would make a major effort to take us into another war during Mr. Clinton's second term in office. I based my prediction on two sets of facts. First, that Mr. Clinton had just appointed an all-Jewish foreign policy team for his second term. And second, that Clinton's second term was an opportunity the Jews couldn't afford to miss to use American military force to wipe out Israel's rivals in the Middle East once and for all. And now, I fear, my prediction is coming true. If this current drive to start another war with Iraq is what I'm afraid it is, then it'll involve much more than merely another attempt to assassinate Saddam Hussein. They'll manage to escalate it into something which will wipe out all of their rivals in the Middle East and leave Israel a free hand to continue her policies of expansion. And it will end up costing America a lot more than a few billion dollars worth of military hardware and a few thousand more unexplained cases of veterans suffering from Gulf War syndrome. A lot more. You know, there are many people, in addition to the Jews, pushing for another war to destroy Iraq. There are the trendy New World Order types who are hostile to the idea of national sovereignty and believe that all of the countries of the world ought to be subordinated to the United Nations and forced to obey UN directives by military means if necessary. That is, they say they believe that, so long as the country in defiance of the United Nations isn't Israel. Israel has been thumbing its nose at the UN for years and defying one UN resolution after another, building new Jewish settlements on land seized by military force from Israel's neighbors, and refusing to permit UN inspection teams to look for evidence of illegal weapons in Israel. And there are even more people who believe that a war against Iraq can be justified if it will destroy Iraq's capability to build so-called weapons of mass destruction. The controlled media have been full of horror stories recently about the possibility that Iraq may develop and use biological and chemical weapons capable of killing millions of people. And let's face it, that is a possibility. The genie is out of the bottle. Modern technology gives even very small countries the ability to build very destructive weapons. It's a very real danger. But if we want to combat that danger, Iraq is not the place to start. Israel has developed chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons of mass destruction, and that's something that really should worry the world. After all, Saddam may be a dictator, but he's never given any evidence of having the frighteningly dangerous combination of hair-trigger paranoia and delusions of grandeur that afflicts Israeli leaders. He hasn't been caught sending Iraqi agents into other countries to assassinate religious or political leaders with exotic biological or chemical weapons. But Israel's current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been caught sending Israeli agents to do exactly that. I don't know whether Mr. Netanyahu is a religious man or not, but all too many of his fellow Israelis are. Orthodox Jews wield the balance of power in Israel, and their religion teaches them explicitly that they are a chosen people, that their tribal God chose them to rule over all the other peoples of the earth, that all the wealth of the Gentiles really belongs to the Jews, and that anyone who refuses to submit to Jewish rule should be killed. If you never learned that in Sunday school, find yourself a Bible and read the book of Isaiah. I mean, really read it. Read it carefully. Think about its meaning. And then remind yourself that whacked out, nutcase religious Jews who believe Isaiah's bloodthirsty, chauvinistic ravings, believe them literally, are in control of one of the world's largest arsenals of chemical and biological weapons. If there's any situation which calls for a massive, preemptive military strike to safeguard the world from a madman using weapons of mass destruction, it's the situation in Israel today. So, When was the last time you heard Mr. Clinton insisting that Israel should permit a UN inspection team to check for biological and chemical weapons in that country? And certainly, one cannot fall back on the excuse that it's only little countries which must not be permitted to have such weapons. Iraq has 4 times the population of Israel. Let's review this conflict with Iraq objectively for a moment. America has no good reason to pick a fight with Iraq. Iraq poses no threat to us. Iraq wants nothing from us but to be left alone. Unlike Israel, Iraq has never even asked for a handout. In 1991, we bombed Baghdad and slaughtered more than 100,000 Iraqis because they had invaded Kuwait, which in fact used to belong to them before it had been taken away during the colonial period. And then we imposed a crippling economic embargo on the defeated Iraqis, an embargo which has caused the deaths of an estimated 500,000 Iraqi infants and children during the past 6 years, and which is maintained because of Israeli insistence. So the Iraqis have plenty of reason to hate us now, but no reason to try to hurt us if we would just leave them alone. Iraqi interests lie in the Middle East, and only in the Middle East. And the reason we are headed toward another war with Iraq now is solely because of the influence of Jews on the government of the United States. It certainly isn't because we are concerned about Iraq's development of weapons of mass destruction. If we were serious about that sort of thing, we would have stopped Israel from developing its chemical, biological, and nuclear arsenal. The reason it's all right with our government for the Jews to have weapons of mass destruction, but not all right for the Iraqis to have them, is that the Jews control the news and entertainment media in the United States, and thus wield effective control over the political process here, and the Iraqis don't. And that's the only reason. So let's cut out the baloney about the rule of law in international affairs, or about the need to keep weapons of mass destruction out of the hands of dangerous and unpredictable people. Weapons of mass destruction already are in the hands of dangerous and unpredictable people, and a lot more dangerous and unpredictable people will have them in the future. And why is that? Why is the world faced with the very real threat that truly horrendous chemical or biological weapons will be used in the future? Well, in the case of the Middle East, the reason is the policy that the United States government has had imposed on it by the Jewish minority here. Israel is the continuing sore point in that part of the world. It is Israel which first introduced weapons of mass destruction into the Middle East. And it is Israel's aggression, supported by the United States, which has put pressure on countries like Iraq to develop their own weapons of mass destruction. Any country which can develop them, any country which has the ability to develop them, will develop them if it feels threatened. Because whether or not it's obvious to Americans, it's obvious to the rest of the world that there is no such thing as justice or a rule of law in international affairs. They've seen the way things have worked in the Middle East for the past 50 years. So let's not fool ourselves with the pretense that Saddam Hussein is some sort of crazy, power-mad gangster and we're the good guys working to maintain international security and prevent a catastrophe. We are the ones who brought about the introduction of weapons of mass destruction into the Middle East through our support of Israel. And we are the ones who caused the present crisis in the Middle East, again, through our support of Israel. And the solution to the present crisis is not to bomb Baghdad again or to try again to assassinate Iraq's president, or to starve more Iraqi children by maintaining the embargo against Iraq. That's the policy that Mr. Clinton's Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, is trying to persuade Iraq's neighbors to go along with. But fortunately, they're not buying it. They're saying, listen, we want peace and stability in this region. We don't want weapons of mass destruction used here by anybody. And we'll support an effort to police Iraq if the United Nations, at the same time, will police Israel and force that country to surrender its weapons of mass destruction and to abide by UN resolutions. That, of course, is completely unacceptable to the Jews, to the chosen people. And so Madeleine Albright has been waddling from one Middle Eastern meeting to another during the past 2 weeks, twisting the arms of everyone she can get her hooks into. She and her fellow Jews are determined to get rid of Saddam Hussein and cripple Iraq by any means necessary. As their hope of lining up the United Nations to do the job for them fades, they'll certainly be developing a scheme to get the United States to do it alone. So, we can expect some sort of manufactured excuse for a U.S. assault on Iraq. Don't be surprised to hear on the news any day now about some sort of provocation by Iraq to justify the United States starting a new war. Perhaps the CIA will stir up some sort of insurrection in a part of Iraq where the U.S. government has told Saddam Hussein he's not permitted to send his troops. And when he moves to put down the insurrection, the Clinton government will use that as its pretext for attacking. As I mentioned, I predicted this 11 months ago. Of course, I didn't know what the details would be, but it was clear that the Jewish power structure was planning a new war. And of course, I don't know just how the present situation will develop. It's even possible that the lack of cooperation they're getting from other countries will persuade the Jews to back off temporarily until they can apply more diplomatic and economic pressure to other UN members. But I doubt it. I'm expecting the war sooner rather than later, despite Mr. Clinton's big pretense of reluctance, his big pretense of wanting to bully Iraq into line by diplomacy rather than by military force. I don't know when it will come. I don't know how it will come, but I know that it's coming. Now I'll make another prediction. We'll see the use of weapons of mass destruction sooner than anyone would like. All of the horror stories about the terrorist use of chemical and biological weapons the Jews have been publishing in the controlled mass media recently in an effort to drum up public support for a preemptive strike against Iraq will start coming true, especially if the Clinton government does what the Jews are demanding and attacks Iraq. Put yourself in the position of a patriotic Iraqi or a religious Muslim or any non-Jewish patriot in the Middle East. You hesitate to use chemical or biological weapons as long as there is any hope that justice will prevail without their use. But when you have given up all hope for justice, then you will do whatever you can. The suicide bombers who have been blowing themselves up in Israel to protest the lack of justice for Palestinians will be showing up in New York and Washington and Los Angeles and Chicago, but they won't be using old-fashioned explosives. And the Muslim suicide teams who have been shooting up buses of tourists in Egypt to protest the Egyptian government's collaboration with the great Satan will move their operations into the great Satan itself, and they'll be using more than rifles and submachine guns. It is coming, and many, many innocent people will die. It is coming because our government has let itself be controlled by Jews, because our government's policies have been based on what's good for the Jews and what's good for Israel, rather than on what's good for Americans. And the Jews, always, throughout history, have overreached themselves. They have never been content to mind their own business and take their own share and leave other people alone. Too many Jews really believe the ravings of Isaiah. They really believe that they can have it all, that they deserve it all, and that whatever they do in their greed to get it all is justified. That's why Mr. Clinton's horrid little Jewess, Madeleine Albright, is continuing to try to pressure Iraq's neighbors into acquiescing in another war against that country. In a way, perhaps it's a good thing that all of this is coming to a head now, like a boil that's been festering under the surface for decades. We Americans have become far too complacent, far too comfortable, far too credulous, far too tolerant of evil and injustice and of encroachments against us by everyone else. When someone from the Middle East, who has given up all hope of justice for his people, pops a biological grenade in a New York subway tunnel or on the grounds of the Washington Monument or somewhere else in the United States, and thousands of our people start dying, some of those who have been too complacent and too tolerant will begin to change their attitudes. Our task, mine and yours, is to do everything we can to ensure that our people also become less credulous, that they stop believing the lies of the mass media, that they begin understanding who is responsible for the catastrophe which is looming before them. Because certainly the Jews and their puppets in the Clinton government will try to place the blame elsewhere, just as they blamed the Oklahoma City bombing on the militias and on patriots generally, rather than on the government's atrocious behavior in the Waco massacre 2 years earlier. So they will blame the coming use of weapons of mass destruction by terrorists on the enemies of the Jews instead of on the Jews themselves, whose policies caused the desperation which led to the terrorism. Thanks for being with me again today.